Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Hollywood Reimagined. I am Tulia Ferraro, and I'm here with Fred. Fred, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Welcome, welcome. How are you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. We have a special episode today ahead of us. Before we start and before I introduce our guests for today, I just wanted to welcome again everybody who's listening to us now or who will listen to us on our various platforms. And I wanted to once again, as always, encourage everybody that does follow us and support us that they can support us through donating on the page that we have on Spotify. Under every episode, we have a link that you can use to donate. We appreciate everything. Every little contribution is very appreciated for us. And also other ways that they can support is follow us through the link on Blog Talk Radio, which is what we use to, again, air our podcast. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio and just support Cineplex Studios as a whole. If you want to add anything, Fred? I feel like I always miss
something.
Yeah,
you covered it all.
Okay, perfect, perfect. And once again, you can listen to our podcast here live on Blog Talk Radio or on Spotify or on Google Play. So we're in a bunch of different places so that our followers can support us and just follow us. So today we have two guests today, I'm seeing. So I know that
exciting stuff.
I know that one is very, very important. Today we have the pleasure to talk a little bit about Pacific Breeze, which is the show that we are currently shooting, and especially one of the main issues and topics that we deal with in Pacific Breeze, which is the whole Hawaiian sovereignty movement, which is very important. And we have today with us, I'll say hello to both of our guests, of course. So this first one, hello, can you hear us? Okay, I'm going to try the second guest then. Let's see. Hello, can you hear us? I'm not hearing neither one of them.
Me either.
Okay, so
well,
it's
well,
not
well,
on my
go
end.
Go ahead, and we'll work on that. Go ahead and talk about, you know, the intro and stuff for the character, and we have a little audio clip to play as well.
Absolutely. Okay, well, today's episode, if you guys notice, is going to be 60 minutes instead of 30 minutes because, again, we have a lot to cover. It's a really important topic, and we wanted to have somebody from our cast to actually speak about it because, obviously, it's a little bit closer to home for her than – well, to you as well, Fred, but for me, it's kind of far, so that's why I'm very excited to hear from somebody who is definitely closer to this topic. But, again, it links to – Pacific Breeze because, again, in Pacific Breeze, we deal with the whole Hawaiian sovereignty movement, and one of the characters in the show, her name is Ulani, she is Hawaiian, and my character and her character kind of get together in order to fight with
for the cause.
Exactly, fight for the cause. So that's why it's important. And to start, I'm going to play a little clip. It's the audio teaser for the beginning of our show. So I'm going to play it for you guys right now.
Okay, so let's start with your name.
Leilani.
I looked into the Hawaiian sovereignty movement, and it's bigger than anyone knows.
You wouldn't understand.
You're in the CIA, is that true?
Where did you hear this?
Doesn't matter, is it true?
You did what?
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Are you sure you want to go down that road?
Oh, I'm sure.
When did you start having a moral compass?
You continue to amaze me.
Oh, I'm just getting started.
I
there it was, a pretty intense teaser. It obviously says a lot about the first episode that we're about to finish shooting, and the whole series or season as a whole. It's going to be a lot of plot twists and a lot of interesting things that are going to happen throughout the episode itself and, again, throughout the whole season. So I am going to try again and see if we can have a answer from one of our guests. Let's see. I'm going to try the first one again. Hello? Can you hear us?
Hello?
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 Hi, yeah, we can hear you. Is this Calais?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, this is Calais.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good.
All good? We're excited to have you on the podcast today.
I'm excited to be a part.
Yeah. So, Clay, tell us a little bit about just an overview for those who don't know, a quick overview, if you will, of what is the Hawaiian Sovereignty Movement about?
Okay. The Hawaiian Sovereignty Movement is really just about regaining It's about like regaining our status as the Hawaiian people. If you don't know, the Hawaiian people have a very rocky history with America. And unfortunately, we were illegally occupied and continue to be illegally occupied and desecrated. So it's very much just the Hawaiian people standing up for their rights back, their land back, recognition back, and to be who we used to be before colonization.
Excellent. Thank you. Tui, you want to bring in our next guest?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see who we have here. It's connecting. Hello, second guest. Can you hear us? No, it's still a no on my hand. Can you guys hear anything?
No. If they could call in on the phone line instead, 563-999-3734. Call in on that line and maybe we can hear you.
All right. And if for any reason you're just here to listen, I'm going to mute you back and you are free to listen, whoever you are. And if you want to join in, maybe I'll try and see if we can talk to you in a few minutes. Okay. All right. So I don't know, Kalei, do you want to tell us a little bit about your character in Pacific Breeze? What do you like about your character? And if I don't know, if it was something new that you never get to portray before, if you've done something like this before, do you want to just tell us a little bit about that? Whatever you feel like saying.
Yeah, sure. So I play Leilani, which she's very big in the Hawaiian sovereignty movement in this series.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically is taking it upon herself to fight for the Hawaiian people. You know, it's such a passion thing for her. And one of my favorite things about playing Leilani is the fact that Leilani to me, truly me. I was born and raised in Hawaii. I grew up very heavy into my Hawaiian culture. I dance hula. I've been personally to all of these Kia'i movements and Hawaiian sovereignty protests. So playing a character like Leilani is really an honor for me. I've never played a character so close to home for me, and being able to share my passion for my people and educating people, which is really what the Kanaka do. You know, we're very much non-violent people. We love to change the world through education. And I'm really excited for people to see Leilani and to watch Pacific Breeze and get to learn more about the culture that a lot of people don't know.
Absolutely. Oh, me on firsthand, when I was speaking to Fred at the beginning of the show, me, myself, I never knew about this whole movement, which is still very current and very real. I never heard about it. And I feel like, again, me as a person, as I feel like everybody should be, I am always thrilled and excited to learn new things, things that I didn't know, especially when it's this big and, again, this current, something that's still going on. So I was definitely excited to learn from what Fred told me, learn from the TV show, and definitely I'm excited to learn from you as well. Getting to work with you on this show is definitely going to be very exciting. And I am, now that I've learned a little bit of it, I'm definitely more excited to even get to be a part of Pacific Breeze, who's going to, again, like, just bring some awareness to other people like me that maybe didn't know anything about this topic before. So it's definitely exciting. Do you think, how long have you been in the United States for? I don't know if I ever asked you this before.
I'm
well, in the United States. I mean, like, off the, yeah.
The mainland.
Right. That was such a
the
classic.
Continent.
Right. Yeah. Typical Tulia. But okay. How long? Sorry. I didn't get that.
No, I've been in the continent for about 7 years. I think I'm about to hit like my year 8.
Okay.
And it's a journey.
Right. Yeah. I was going to ask you, do you feel like a lot of the times people that you come across or people that you talk to have some sort of idea of what's about the whole Hawaiian sovereignty movement, or do you think that you encounter most people that don't know much about it, just like I didn't?
More often than not, it's really people who have little to no knowledge. I mean,
mm-hmm.
most people out here in the States, all they ever really see Hawaii as is, you know, oh my God, a vacation spot. Oh my God.
Right.
Like when I first moved here, so many people would be like, oh, why did you leave Hawaii? I would never leave Hawaii. I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
know. But it's regardless that Hawaii is considered a state, it's still a very big culture shock. If, you know,
right.
If ever
Absolutely.
You've been, it's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
yeah,
like,
sure.
Can you briefly tell people, because one of the things when I was doing my initial research years and years ago, I actually lived in Hawaii for 5 years, but before I moved there, I researched everything and discovered how U.S. annexed Hawaii, you know, the major events that led to the annexation. Can you... Because I had no idea until I read about it. I'm sure most people don't even know about it at all. But can you briefly describe, you know, what happened as far as, you know, the start of the businessman and how that led to the overthrow?
Oof. It was very big. It was very hard-hitting. The Hawaiian people were travelers. Before we were colonized by America, we actually had a Treaty of Nations that
mm-hmm.
countries, like I think about 11 or 12 countries, had signed this treaty, and we had certain rules, you know, that, you know, we can't over-martialize a country or whatever. But it was really America who looked at us as something to monetize.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii is known for crop growing, known for whaling, known for all
mm-hmm.
kinds of things. And basically what had happened were American businessmen had come to Hawaii, realized the potential that Hawaii had for monetization, but also knew that Hawaii had their own monarchy system. And it was very strong the way that the Hawaiian people held themselves and governed themselves. And to these American businessmen, they found it as a threat, because all they wanted is they wanted money. They wanted
mm-hmm.
to figure out any and every way to monetize Hawaii. We gave them whaling oil. We gave them sugar cane. We gave them all of these, you know, produce, fruit. Like, Hawaii is the number one spot to grow produce.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, to this day, a lot of the produce that hit grocery stores in America come from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Which is wild, because in Hawaii, most of our supplies come from outside of Hawaii. A lot of times Hawaii doesn't get our own crops, and that had to do with going way back then. These American businessmen, one of the famous ones is Stanford D. Dole. You guys ever heard of Dole Whip? Pineapples, the Dole Company. He was one of the major players.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was one of the major, major players in the annexation and overthrow of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So what had happened is they, at this point, we had one of our last reigning monarchs, which was Queen Liʻuokalani, and she was forced at gunpoint to sign a contract handing over the Hawaiian nation.
Wow.
And she was actually put under house arrest until she signed those papers saying that all control of Hawaii would go not to America as a government, but actually to these businessmen. America, on the other hand, had no idea any of this was happening. These businessmen had actually lied to America, sent them all of these messages saying that, oh, these Hawaiians are attacking us and they're doing all of these things. Send in your troops. We need backup. But it was all lies because when these military men came over, there was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just oppressed people. And eventually, I believe in 1783 or something like that, they lowered the Hawaiian flag in front of Iolani Palace and raised the American flag. And that was the day that Hawaii's heart had broken and we had lost our queen.
Mm-hmm.
So it had been, and one of the things that I find the craziest is Princess Kaʻiulani. She was the niece of our last two reigning monarchs, Kalakaua and Liʻuokalani. She studied in English. Her father had sent her out so that she can learn how to be a scholar. She came back to Hawaii, found out what was going on with her people, and had fought. She was the initial starter of bringing sovereignty back to the Hawaiian people. But it wasn't until 100 years later where America had recognized the annexation, recognized the overthrow, but only gave a letter of apology. We never got our land back. We never got our sovereignty back. To this day, there are still Hawaiians being pushed out of their homeland. One of the main reasons why I left Hawaii was because my family and I couldn't afford it.
Wow.
With all of the inflation, the vacation homes, it's crazy. To this day, hundreds and hundreds of Hawaiians are being pushed out continuously whilst all of these beautiful condos are being built, selling for $500,000 to all of, you know, very rarely.
More than that. Those condos start like $1 million.
Oh, yeah. And it's crazy. And then you see the kanaka on the street. You see them homeless. We have Hawaiian homelands, which is the closest, you know, thing would be like reservation lands.
Mm-hmm.
We have that in Hawaii, but very often than not, do Hawaiians get to see that land? My family is lucky that my papa's name is the list that we have to wait on. My family is one of the lucky families to have Hawaiian homeland. There have been families and people who have passed away on that waiting list, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really insane how, you know, and it's not only Hawaiians that have gone through this. Many, many other indigenous cultures have gone through this. But that's why I love the fact that we're touching base on this in Pacific Breeze. And I've been through many a schooling. I've been through Hawaiian immersion schools, Hawaiian studies programs. You know, I've dedicated my life to my culture and to my people. So I'm really excited to really shine some real light on this.
Definitely.
Yeah, I hope the Pacific Breeze does it justice as well. Just to, like I said, educate people about this, because when I found out about it when I was doing my research, I was just shocked at how blatant the people were to take over that land. It wasn't even theirs. And you know, if someone were to do it nowadays, they would probably be just short of executed, you know, for trying to do something like that.
Right.
Actually, once we were colonized and, you know, the overthrow was happening, the Hawaiian people were actually banned from anything and everything to do with their culture. You would get beaten, whipped, like, arrested, hung, like, you know, for speaking Hawaiian, for writing in Hawaiian, for practicing hula. And nowadays people look at hula as, you know, something really cute to watch at a luau. But hula is actually a sacred worshiping dance. If you were caught practicing hula, you would get whipped. I know people whose grandmothers and great-grandmothers would have, still to this day, would have scars from being whipped in class for speaking Hawaiian. You know, and that was all the Hawaiian people knew, because when we were colonized, nobody taught us English. It was one of their biggest forms of segregation, is to have that barrier.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, we're using this show, you know, just to bring it back around again, we're using this show to enlighten people, the general public, as to what did happen. And it's not the position of the show to take sides as to right or wrong. It's the position of the show to educate people as to what did happen. So Pacific Breeze is a fictional story based upon historical facts.
Right.
And so we're going to let the people decide for themselves, you know, what side they want to be on in this topic. And I would feel the most of it would be on the Hawaiian side, because, in my opinion, any way you look at it, it was wrong the way they did it.
Right.
And something else that a lot of people don't know, again, I didn't know this again until I did my research, is Hawaii was the first in the current United States to have electricity.
Yep. At the Iolani Palace.
Yes. They beat America to have electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was very, very fascinating. They were clearly becoming the leaders of the world. And the rug got pulled out from underneath them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I try to do as much justice as I possibly can in writing this series. Educating people about what did happen, and you know, just like I said, bringing, you know, attention to it, because the people there, after living there, I see the struggle, and it is really, really sad to watch, because that's their, it's like being kicked out of your own house that you own, you bought, it's yours. You know, you've paid for it. It's already paid for. So you don't even have a mortgage payment anymore. And then someone come along and put a gun to your head and say, well, this is now mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing. You know, just on a smaller scale. And so, you know, I just think it's something that deserves the attention it needs.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, Tilia, do you ever have our second guest?
We can try again. I didn't see anybody call in again, but let's try and see if we can hear them now. Hello, second guest. Can you hear us? Nope. It's still no sound on my hand, and I'm pretty sure that nobody else can hear.
Yeah.
They probably just tune in to just listen.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't receive any other guest call in or anything like that. So I don't know if it's the technical issues. I hope that they're able to listen to what we've been saying. I also think that they would have probably logged out at this point if they couldn't. So, welcome anyway to whoever you are. We're glad to have you here, but we unfortunately can't hear you. So you're just going to be a listener for today's show.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have anything else that we want to discuss today? I don't know if we want to talk more about Pacific Breeze as a show or whatever you feel like talking, Fred.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot happening on the series. We only touched the tip of the iceberg with episode one. There's a lot of political power plays coming up in the future episodes. It's going to be getting very interesting real fast. And, you know, something else is probably next week on our next podcast, we're going to be announcing a new release date for Pacific Breeze.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have anything else you want to add to this?
Calais?
Yes.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add about the topic that we were just discussing?
Not really. I'm just really excited for people to watch Pacific Breeze and to really just learn and listen to the story that we have to say. This movement has been such a big thing to me, and even just having something like this to showcase to the world, you know, it's really exciting, and I'm so blessed to be a part. And the cast is already kind of the energy that we have is crazy. I'm so excited for people to watch.
Definitely. Same here.
Awesome. All right. Well, I guess we'll just wrap this up then.
All right. Well, this was definitely a very interesting episode. I hope that, again, we touched base and we, as you said, we scratched the tip of the iceberg with this whole topic as a whole. But again, if people are interested to learn more and to know more and to educate themselves, this should definitely keep up with the show. We're going to, as you said, just reveal more. And, just trying to spread some awareness about this very important thing that's still going on till this day. So as Calais said before, I'm also very excited to be a part of the show. And I was excited today to learn a little bit more about this. I remembered some of what she was saying I have a little monologue explaining this in the show. So I remember because I had to memorize it for a previous day of shooting. So I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I studied that. But also, again, hearing it from somebody that went through it firsthand or that had somebody in their family, you know, just like someone that's very close to that specific, topic. It was definitely more touching than to just read it on paper. No offense, Fred, obviously.
And also the fact that, you know, everything we talk about here about the Hawaiian Sovereignty Movement is really just surface stuff. I'm sure I can validate this, but I've heard a lot of stuff that it just gets really, really involved and really political and technical and a lot of personalities come into the issue. A lot of people have different viewpoints about what should happen going forward in the future. So that's a whole nother topic altogether. You know, how do we even pull our people together, so to speak, to even fight this? Or is it, you know, do we go to court? You know, do we do it by force? You know, that, you know, there's all different, it's all over the place as far as what to do about it. And the other thing is, President Clinton was the actual president who signed the formal apology to the Hawaiian people in, you know, what, 100 years later? Give me a break.
Right.
A millennia later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and, you know, a paper apology is nothing. You know, there's nothing behind it. You know, there's no money. There's nothing. But what the U.S. government did do is create the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, which is literally described as a government within a government. It's a governing body over the Hawaiian people, but they're subject to the laws, rules of the U.S. government. So they have to operate within that parameter, they don't have the freedom to do what they want to do because they have to operate within that parameter. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening currently.
Right.
And but there's a whole future of potential stuff that could happen, you know, to correct a wrong, is the way I put it. And so, you know, again, that's, this is all going to come out in the series because there's debate about it between the characters in the series. And some very emotional debates coming up in future episodes. And so people, you know, are really going to get into this. And you know, in the series, in the official side of the series, there's also fallout from that, too. You know,
right.
So things are going to start happening to people who are very vocal or very opposed to whatever's happening in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's lots of plot twists, a lot of turns and things like that. So it's going to be an exciting series. There's lots of material there to play with and to get people motivated to watch. And I mean, not only just for the story, but for the characters themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what we want. We want people to get really attached to the actors, you know, and start following them. So that's the one thing I hope to get out of the series as well.
Absolutely. All right. Well, this was once again a very insightful episode. I'm very glad that we did it, and I'm very glad that we had the pleasure to have Kalei here telling us a little bit more about this. And we will talk again next week, again, Thursday at 7:30 p.m., as usual. Thank you so much for being with us today, Kalei.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you, Fred, as always. I will talk to you next Thursday.
Talk to you then.
All right. Bye, Fred.
Bye.